Well, I struggled this week trying to figure out how I'm going to start this message. And I was just really happy that the whole theme this morning has been about being children, following the Father, following the Lord, following our parents, about family, and about being children of God. And, you know, draw me a little closer. Let me know your heart. What a wonderful way to think. Draw me a little closer. Let me know your heart, Lord. We're going into Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm just thankful that God has put this on my heart this morning to talk about how we can be imitators of our Father, of God. And let me just read the first two verses to begin with. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. I don't know about you, but I had an amazing dad. And I think I was a pest as a kid because Dad was my hero. I'd follow him everywhere. I'd even try to walk like my dad, and my dad had a peculiar walk, and I can try this. It's not like, you know, you've seen Monty Python and the crazy walk. It wasn't like that, but it was, he kind of had a bit of a one of these as he walked. And of course, as a little kid, I'd be going like this beside him because that's how Dad walked, and I wanted to be the same. And when he sat down on a chair, you know, he would cross his legs a certain way. And of course, little kid sitting beside Dad, I would do the same. Now, he didn't go like this. He went like this. And often his hand was on his ankle like this, and that's how I would sit. And because that's what Dad did. And I wanted to be like Dad, and I wanted to follow what he did. And I was in the way a lot, because when he was fixing a car or something, he would try to put me to work just so that I probably wouldn't get in the way, because otherwise my head would be right in front of his so he couldn't see what he was trying to do. And I just love that picture and the thoughts that go back to following my dad around and just helping him, you know, work around cars and stuff like that, and building. And, you know, David, hold this flashlight for me. No, hold it still, you know, because it'd be all over the place, right? We spent a lot of time together. And when you spend a lot of time with your father, you get to know him really well. You get to speak like him. You get to copy his moves and so on. And then even if you're working with Dad, every once in a while, you'd notice a defect or two. You know, he'd hit his finger with a hammer, and then, you know, a word would come out that shouldn't have come out, and he would look at me and he would say, I shouldn't have said that. A Christian shouldn't say that. And I shouldn't have said that. And it was a good example to me of, you know, okay, Dad said something he shouldn't have said, and it showed his humanness, right? But to know your father, you have to spend time with your father, and you have to listen to him, and you have to walk with him, and ride with him. I remember riding, and him singing songs, and teaching me, you know, songs, and we'd be singing hymns and so on in the truck as we're driving along, and we'd sing together. And those are great memories. And I know that a lot of people haven't had the same kind of father figure that I had. I was really, really blessed. I know that now. And people have grown up sometimes with horrible fathers. But if you can imagine the perfect father in your head and what he would be like and emulating that perfect father. So when in chapter 5, in verse 1 of Ephesians, when it says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, that's what came to my mind, is how we can imitate our Heavenly Father. Now, right off the bat, at the beginning it says, therefore. Now, whenever you see that, a preacher once said to me, he says, whenever you see a therefore, you want to see why it's there for, what it's there for, right? And so that just would not leave my mind as I was going through the beginning of this chapter, and I thought, oh my goodness. So which one of the, you know, many verses in previous is it referring to when it says, therefore, to be imitators of God, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. So whereabouts is the therefore? So then, you know what? You can take the whole first four chapters and read those, and you can find verses in each one of them that apply to our Father. So because of how our Father is, we should be imitators of God. And so anyways, I went back and I looked at, you know, chapter 1. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. And then down further in verse 13 it says, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. And then if you go down to chapter 2, you see, starting at verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then it goes down to look at verse 19 of chapter 2. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. So we're part of God's household. We're part of His family. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And then if you go down further into verse in chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And if you just go through the rest of those of chapter 4, we're looking at the unity of the Spirit. We have this, it's kind of like having a birth certificate. It's the Holy Spirit is like our seal, proving that we are His children. And how we're supposed to be united together as brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're part of His family. And then we see how, further on in chapter 4, how we're supposed to walk as Christians, how we're supposed to be. And then we see at the very end of chapter 4, it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So we see some of the attributes that that God has, our Father has, and what he's done for us. And when you want to get to know someone, you have to, when you want to copy someone, you have to actually spend time learning about who they are and what they're like and what they think and what they want and the desires of their heart. So we spend time with our Father. We want to know all these things. With our Heavenly Father, it means we need to spend time studying the Word of God so that we can become closer to Him. And we need to spend time talking to Him. That means praying. And it's a joyful time when you start to discover the beautiful character that our God has and try to emulate that character, to be imitators of what that character is. And so the therefore is such a huge word at the beginning there of chapter 5. Spending time with our Father. We can see, because the whole of Ephesians seems to be talking to Christians and speaking to us as Christians, it's kind of like it's a letter to us. We live in a very similar kind of world as was in the city of Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a big city. People from all over would come to this city for commerce. There was also a big temple there, and it was celebrating the god Diana. And there was lots of commerce. People would come from all over the world to this place. And philosophers would flock there and discuss religion. And it was a very wicked place, too. Lots of the god Diana was a god of fertility, and there was lots of evil sexual sin going on around in this city. And it was a very, very promiscuous place. And Christians were growing up and living in this area, and very much the way we live today in our city of Nanaimo and in our world, in our country. And so it's not much different than what we have here. There is paganism going on. There was practice of all different religions and theories about this and theories about that. And here was Paul trying to bring the Christians down to focus on God their Father and what Christ had done for them, and to focus them on how they should live as Christians and how we should live, how we should imitate God and His character. And so now we go on further and we see that in verse 3 of Ephesians, we start looking at if we're imitating God, we won't be interested in immorality or impurity or greed. It says that they should not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. So as Christians, what occupies our mind? You know, what are we thinking about? We shouldn't let those kind of things enter our head and be thinking about them. And then it talks about how we should be talking. You know, the first, in verse 3, it was about our lifestyle. Our lifestyle should be different. We should not be like that. Our lifestyle should be one of following God, not being immoral, not being impure, not being greedy, not chasing after money, the idols in life that kind of take our attention. But we should be focusing on loving people and showing God's love to them and telling them about our Savior Jesus who died for our sins. And then we look at what we talk about as Christians. It says there should be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting. This is verse 4, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. I had a good example of that this week at work. I was painting the front door of a beautiful new house, and the siding guys were outside, and it was coffee time for them, and they were in there. They have a sort of a work trailer covered in work trailer, and they were sitting around inside drinking their coffee and loudly talking and laughing, and it was extremely coarse. And it was disgusting. And I thought to myself, this is awful. I don't even want to hear this. And then I realized that the reason why I didn't want to hear this is because my mind is transformed. God has taken my mind and changed me. I don't want to hear that stuff. So I was sort of humming a little tune in my head a Christian worship song in my head to try to block what I was hearing from them. And they were loud. I mean, they were really loud. And I think it's because they're wearing those, you know, those work plugs in their ears. They don't realize that everybody in the whole street probably could hear what they were saying. But it was really bad. And Lori was inside working in one of the rooms, and she could hear them. And, you know, I was embarrassed for her. And I was embarrassed just listening to them myself. But you know what? I realized then that I did not want to talk like that or even hear that, that I had a transformed mind because of what Christ has done in my life, and realized that I really didn't want to be like that. I wanted to imitate God and His righteousness, not that. I wanted to have the character of God and not that kind of character. And I thought, you know, God could change those men so they could have His character. But just listening to it made me disgusted. So we know that we need to talk and imitate God in what we say, giving thanks to God. And then what kind of actions do we have, you know? It says in verse 5, "For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." I struggled with this a bit. I wondered, okay, does that mean that if we think this and we have these thoughts in our minds, or we've maybe fallen in our Christian faith and followed in this, that we wouldn't be Christians anymore? That's what I wondered, you know? And so I struggled with that verse for a while, and I wondered what that meant, you know? And then I think that what it really means, I believe, is that we won't want that stuff. We don't want that stuff. Really deep down inside, we know that that's wrong, and that is not part of the Christian life. That's really what it's saying. It's not part of the kingdom of Christ. That's not part of the Christian life in following God. And so therefore, don't do that, right? Then it talks about further down, and from verse 8, it talks, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." The whole change from being children of darkness to children of light, and following in the light. Do you know what it's like when you're in a dark room? You can't see what's going on. If you were walking, you'd be bumping into things nonstop. And I was scared of the dark as a kid, and I think maybe other people may have had that same experience as a child, being afraid of the dark. I was. I know that I was pretty sure there was some monster in the basement, and if Mom sent me down to the freezer to get something from there, it was freaky, because that meant I had to go downstairs, and it was never really very bright down there, and there's a dark spot at the back, and I just had this feeling that something bad was there, and it was going to get me, right? But you know, as soon as you turn the light on, and you illuminate the dark spots, there's nothing there. You feel comfortable. You realize that when God shines light in darkness, there's a change. There's a whole change of thought, a whole change of feeling. Instead of running away in fear, you're comfortable because you know that it's light. You can see. God takes away the fear that we have. It also talks in verse 14 about, let's start in verse 13. "But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, 'Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Now we sang that song this morning, which is appropriate. It said, "Awake, awake," that song we sang this morning. "Christ will shine on you." You know, there's many Christians, and I count myself as one of these, shamefully, that at some point in my life, I can get distracted by things that aren't of God. And I can maybe start thinking about things I shouldn't. And my Christian faith, it's like I'm asleep. I don't feel like I have any life in me. And I feel like I'm just sort of going day to day, and I haven't heard God's voice for a while. And then I think, okay, well, what is causing this? Is there something in my life that I need to repent? And something that God needs to expose with his light that I need to change and repent and come back to him and just let him take that away and bring me alive again. Do you ever feel that? You feel kind of dead in your life and asleep, and that you haven't really noticed or felt God's Spirit in you giving you that joy and the love for other people and compassion for other people? So when I read that, I thought, you know, is this talking about people that aren't Christians, or is this talking about Christians? Well, the whole chapter, the whole book seems to be talking to Christians. And so I believe this is talking about us, that we can become asleep, we can become dead in our Christian lives. And we're not supposed to be sleepy Christians. We're supposed to be alive. And we're supposed to be reflecting the light. The scripture talks about hiding our light under a bushel rather than putting it on a lampstand, letting it shine. Does the world see our light? Does the world see God's light in us? Are we reflecting? This is part of being imitators of God. Are we imitating God and reflecting his character to around us? What are we doing, you know? It's pointless to have our light underneath a bucket so they can't see it. For one thing, what happens when you put a bucket over top of a candle? Eventually, there's no oxygen left, and that light will go out. Well, I don't believe that we're going to lose our salvation, but I do believe that if we don't let our light shine before God, that we can become sleepy. And we can become kind of dead in our Christian faith. And I think we need to stand before God, and we need just to raise our hands before him each day and say, God, use me today. Take these hands. I want to use my hands for you. Take this mouth, and I want to use it for your glory. Take my feet. Help me to walk strong on your pathway for you. Whatever I do and say today, Lord, help it to be an encouragement to someone to follow you so they will see Christ in me and want to become a Christian and then be able to share the great hope that we have in Christ, because he died for those sins that we struggle with every day. But we don't want to be sleepy Christians. We want to be alive. We want to be awake. And we want to be a bright light in this world. And I got thinking about how God feels, you know, when we aren't following him, and how that must hurt. And it must hurt him even more than it would maybe hurt us as, you know, as a father. If one of my children isn't following him, I think I would go through all kinds of emotions of sadness, maybe regret, thinking I might have done something wrong or didn't do enough to express to them what they needed to know about God. Or you have all kinds of regrets when someone, if you're a parent, someone isn't following God, you start blaming yourself. You know, I wondered how I would feel. How God feels when we don't follow him. And it's a bigger slap for him when we don't, because his own son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, died for those sins. So when we as Christians start sinning, it's like a double slap, you know? And I thought about that, and I thought, man, as a parent, how would I feel, you know? We'll do anything to try to bring someone or one of our children back. Let's just give an example. If one of our kids, my mom always blamed herself quite quite a bit because my brother Paul isn't following God, and he became a drug addict. And she just wondered where she'd gone wrong, you know? And you'll do anything for your son. You want to try to you know, you're trying to rescue him from this terrible thing, you know? And we make sacrifices for our kids to try to bring them around, you know? We do all kinds of things. And at some point, there's even anger involved. We're mad at them. We're just upset. Why on earth would you do that, you know? And I think God sometimes looks at us and goes, look what I've done for you. Why are you doing that, you know? So, and why are you thinking that? Or why are you looking at that? Or why are you talking that way? That's not part of my kingdom. I want you to change, right? So when I reflected on that, I thought, well, you know what? Not only that, we have the Holy Spirit living in us. How is that? How is the Holy Spirit feeling comfortable in our skin, in our body, if we're doing stuff like that, you know? And we're definitely not filled with the Holy Spirit when we're doing that. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means there's going to be a big change. There's going to be a lot of joy. There's going to be a lot of love shining from us. There's going to be a lot of patience. There's going to be a lot of forgiveness. There's going to be all kinds of beauty that comes from us. There's going to be a willingness to serve. There's going to be a willingness to follow when it gets tough. And there's going to be a love for people that aren't lovable. It's going to be a different way of living as a Christian when the Holy Spirit fills us. And the gifts that He gives us, if we're using them for Him, it's a joy. If we have gifts that He's given us and we're not using them for Him, it must grieve the Spirit of God who's in us. So living for Christ, living for God, imitating God, what does that mean to us today, you know? But when someone is following the Lord, and when one of our children is following the Lord, and we see them flourishing, and we see the Spirit of God in their lives, we get excited. When we see them excel at something, anything, whether it's like in a human point of view, if you see them excelling in sports or in education or in art or in anything like this, you get this sense of pride. You get the sense of joy at seeing what they've become or what they're doing. And you want to talk about them. You want to share their picture on Facebook. You want to, you know, post their, make accolades about them, you know. And I think that when we do things that are great, I think the Lord is like a sweet perfume to God when He sees His children following Him. And we see His kids imitating Him. There must be just real, real joy for our Lord God. It says in verse 2 of chapter 5, it says, "And walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Now that fragrant aroma may not just be perfume, it could be just a delicious meal. You know, we walk into a kitchen and there's fresh baked bread. To me, that's a fragrant aroma. Or if you walk in and there was a chicken curry dinner smell coming there, that's another fragrant aroma, you know. So it may not just be, you know, a lilac perfume or something, you know. But anyways, when we follow the Lord and we're following and doing what we're supposed to and letting the Spirit of God move in us, it's a joy. It's like a fragrant aroma to God. I want to be a fragrant aroma to God. I don't want to be a source of sadness or disappointment. I want to be able to imitate God. So Every day when we get up in the morning, we should stand before God with our hands up in the air. Now, you don't have to do it that way, but that's what I feel like I need to do that sometimes. And just say, God, here I am. Use me today. Whatever you want me to do. And Lord, if I fail you, I'm sorry. Help me. Lord, let your Spirit move in my heart today and fill me and move on through the day. Anyways, that is what God showed me in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I thank you that you care for us. You have a purpose for each one of our lives. You love us dearly. And when we follow you, we bring joy to you like a fragrant aroma. We want to follow you, Lord. Use us, we pray. Use this church, we pray. We thank you now for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.